Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 10, Divine Glories. And so far we have seen that Arjuna, after understanding the nature of the Lord, is still not clear how to meditate upon the Lord, how to perceive the Lord's form, how to experience His presence. So he made a request and said, I've heard this from others before, from my teachers, the sages, in the Puranas, in the Vedas, I've heard this. And now you're also telling me that the Self, you, is the Supreme, the source of all, and also the abode of all. You are the Lord of the Lords and the King of the Kings. But I still have this practical difficulty. How should I meditate upon you? I cannot meditate on something which I have no experience of. We have discussed this before, that I can only think of things which I have experienced in the past. If somebody says the word elephant, and if I had seen the elephant in the past, or seen a picture at least, then the word will create that image of elephant in my mind. So now if I want to meditate on elephant, I can meditate on the form which I associate with the word elephant. But if there was no association with that word of any form or a shape or a color or characteristics, I will have a very difficult time meditating on that. So Arjuna said, since I have not experienced this all-pervadingness of the Self, that I will have difficulty in meditating. So please tell me in which different forms I can meditate on you. Where that form can become very obvious to me that it is the form of the Divine. It is the presence of the Divine. So in response, Bhagavan said, even though my glories are infinite, in other words, my manifestations in this world are infinite. And as we have seen earlier, this world is constantly changing in its form and shape and color. Everything is constantly changing. So there are infinite permutation combinations of any existence. And therefore, it is not possible to describe them all. But for the purpose of this discussion, Bhagavan said, I will give you the prominent examples where the presence of the Divine Self will be obvious. That without the presence of something divine, this existence could not have been possible. And therefore, we have started seeing from the last few verses the examples Bhagavan is giving. Now, he has also made it very clear that not that these examples are the only places where the Divine resides, or the only places where you can find the Divine, but it may be easier for you to experience His presence in them. And therefore, I'll give you the examples of the best among the best in various categories. So continuing in that discussion, now Bhagavan says, Vedanam Samavedo Asmi. Among the Vedas, I'm Samaveda. We all know there are four Vedas, Ruk, Sam, Yajur, and Atharva. The Samaveda is considered the most important one because, as Swamiji has explained, that Samaveda is nothing but merely the essence of Rig Veda. Rig Veda being the most ancient and has the most wisdom in it. Samaveda takes that wisdom and gives its essence, but in a more elaborate manner, in a musical format. So Samaveda is to be sung. The richas of these Samavedas, I guess it's called Samanas, are to be sung in a very complicated rhythmic musical compositions. And therefore, they're very, very enchanting to hear if someone is chanting Samaveda. Now, some of us may have experienced that at our local temple because one of our priests is a student of Samaveda. And he chants this in a Samavedic tradition. And therefore, Samaveda is most important among all Vedas, because it is also formed the basis of our Indian music. And Swamiji makes a comparison here that just as the Samaveda is Rigveda tuned to music, so it is more pleasant to hear, more understanding for us. We remember poems easier than prose. That's why when we were children, we have to do those tables more in a rhythmic fashion. 1 to the 2 is 2, 2 to the 2 is 4. Obviously, I learnt in Gujarati. But those are rhythmic manner which makes it easier for our mind to remember. Therefore, all these things which we have to remember, they always put in some kind of a meter so we can chant, you know, sing and remember. So Samaveda is more musical, and therefore the essence of the Veda becomes easier to contemplate on in Samaveda. And therefore Bhagavan says, among the Vedas I am Samaveda. Devanam asmi vasavaha. Among the Devas, I am Vasava. Vasava is Indra. Indra is the king of all the Devas in heaven. So, as per our Puranas, in the heavens, the Devas live in heavens. And ironically, even in heavens, which where we have the highest standard of living, as Swamiji explains, they also have the haves and have-nots. In other words, they also have a category of people who are less richer than others, who are have the more, you know, pleasures and more comforts. And among them all, the king of all the Devas is Indra. So he is the epitome of the highest standard of living, the highest wealth he can control, and also the highest power he can control. And he is the ruler, so he makes sure that other people are enjoying their standard of living in an appropriate manner. So, among the Devas, I am Indra. Indra, Indriyana, Manascha Asmi. Indriyana, Manascha Asmi. Among the Indriyas, I am mind. Now, making the correlation with Indra. Indra, Indriyanam Raja Indra. The king of Indriyas is Indra. Now, Indriyas, we have the sense organs. Sense organs we have discussed before are the devas. That which illumines the world of objects for me are the devas. So, among the sense organs who are the devas for me, the king of all these devas, the indriya, the sense organs, is the mind. Without the presence of the mind, the indriyas cannot function. We know that somebody may pass by me, my eyes may see that person, but I will not make any notice of that because my mind was not there. You know, I hear this complaint all the time. The Neil, I waved at you, but you didn't pay any attention. Your attention was somewhere else. And I say, oh yeah, yeah, I must be daydreaming. I'm always have my mind and somewhere else. So if mind is not available, the eyes cannot see. If mind is not available, my ears cannot hear. And therefore, the mind is the king of all the indriyas. Just as the Indra is the king of all the devas, mind is the king of all the sense organs. It is actually the same thing described in two different ways. Bhutanam asmi chetana. Among the beings, I am the chetana. Chetana, that which has a thinking ability. Chintan kartru chittam. That which is giving me the thinking ability, what I call it a chetana. That's because Bhagavan said it's because of my presence. As long as my presence is there in your body, you will have this ability to think. So among the beings, I am intelligence. I'm the intellect among all the beings. Because of my presence, they can think what to do and what not to do. Even in a primordial being, that thinking ability at the primary level will decide where it has to move or not move, where the food source is or where it is not. Bhagavan said that chetana, that ability to think, is because of my presence. So, now when I see the excellence in any field, I feel the presence of that divine self which makes that excellence possible. The next he says, Rudranam Sankaracha Asmi. Among the Rudras, I am Shankara. Shankara, Lord Shiva. Rudras are the deities of destruction. Any destruction that happens, the Rudras are the responsible for that. And now, obviously, this is really confusing to most of us, that I can understand that we assign a divine power to creation. But how can I assign a divine power to destruction? But you know, I'm an architect, and I can tell you that without destruction, the construction cannot take place. Most of the time, and particularly in an urban setting, when you have planned a project, the first thing you have to think about is the demolition of the existing structure which is there, or any other objects or any type of structures on that site, we should demolish it. Also dig it out, anything which is existing in the ground where we are going to put the foundation. Before you do that, there is no construction is possible. So you know, a set of documents, the first set of documents, the demolition documents. And once the demolition is done, the construction document starts. So demolition is as important as the construction. And therefore, our sages have very boldly described the deities of destruction as Rudras. Any destruction taking place in this world, that's a beginning of a construction, beginning of a creation. So, Rudranam Sankara Chasmi. Among the Rudras, I'm Shankara. Lord Shiva is the Lord of auspicious name. Sama Karoti Iti Sankara, Swamiji say. That who does Kalyana is a Shankara. So, Shankara Bhagwan is the Lord of destruction. In our Hindu Trinity also, Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Shiva is the destroyer. If you take one of the three out, the world cannot exist. Brahma cannot create unless the previous creation is destroyed. Vishnu cannot maintain unless Brahma has created something to maintain. And the cycle continues. For a new creation, Shiva has to destroy that which has become outdated and useless and became evil to us, not usable, not beneficial, not auspicious. Shiva destroys that to make a room for auspiciousness. Shiva destroys the evil thoughts in our mind so that a good thought will have a place to take place. So, Rudranam Shankara Chasmi. Among the deities of destruction, I'm Shankara. Because that's the most obvious destruction. Vittesaha Yakshaha Rakshasam. Among the Yakshas and Rakshasas, who are the protectors of the wealth, I am the chief among them, Vittesha, the divine treasurer, Kubera. And Swamiji gives an elaborate explanation that Kubera is described in our scriptures as fat and ugly with a third leg and only 8 protruding teeth. But he is the hoarder and the protector of the heavenly wealth. And Yakshas and Rakshasas are his troops helping him guarding this wealth. And Swamiji makes it clear that our rishis were not very happy with the materialistic values and materialistic way of life. So hoarding the wealth, they never really give any value. Therefore, Kubera is described in scriptures as a very ugly creature. Materialistic existence cannot have any beauty. It can only create ugliness in life. And therefore, Kubera is described as ugly creature. But Bhagwan said, among those wealth hoarders, I am Kubera. See, if it was a modern time, he would say, among all the wealth creator, I am Bill Gates. But I am not comparing Bill Gates with the ugly Kubera. But he still makes a point that that's where you can identify. Anytime you have a discussion about success in IT business or computer business or anything, we think about Bill Gates. We jokingly say, well, you're not a Bill Gates. Or, well, this is what Bill Gates did. Any computer progress we assign to Bill Gates. Same thing with any of these mobile iPads and Steve Jobs. So, there are probably millions and millions of IT engineers who work on these projects. and have this brain capacity to create these new gadgets, new computing power, new computers. But who do we remember or assign that credit to? Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, and Facebook now, and social media. Does that mean that only those three or four people have this brain power to create this thing? No. But they have the leadership. That's where this ability of creating new computing power, new mobile devices, new social media is most obvious. So their examples come easy to our mind and becoming it easier for us to understand. In a similar manner, Bhagwan said, Vasunam pavakah cha asmi. Among the Vasus, I am fire. Now this is kind of interesting because as Swamiji explains, there are eight Vasus described in our scriptures. Those are the presiding deities of seasons. Now we have only six seasons generally. Three main seasons and three sub-seasons, like the spring and summer, winter and fall. So we have six seasons, but in our scriptures there are eight deities are assigned to eight seasons. So where are the other two seasons? And Swamiji says they are in our mind. There is a microclimate outside and there's a microclimate inside my mind. So the other two seasons are joy and sorrow, happiness and unhappiness. Associating my microclimate with the macroclimate, I can enjoy the seasons or suffer through the season. My mind may be joyful and the day outside may be miserable, but I will enjoy it because my mind is joyful. My mind is sorrowful and the day outside is wonderful. 70 degree outside, sunshine, light breeze, no wind. And everybody says, what a wonderful day, great day today. And I say, what are you talking about, great day? It's a terrible day today. I had a very bad day because my mental climate is sorrowful. So, Vasunam pavakah cha asmi. Among the Vasus who are the deities of these eight climates, six outside, two inside, their mouth is considered to be fire. So the fire in the mouth of each season, and therefore, Bhagavan said, Vasunam pavakah cha asmi. I am the fire among the Vasus because I am their mouth. I am the enjoyment which makes the season obvious. Meruhu sukhirinam aham. Among the mountains, I am Meru. Now we obviously as Hindus have heard about Meru. And Meru is a mythical mountain in our Puranas and scriptures. It is supposed to be several thousand miles tall and is the center of our world, and this world consists of seven islands around this island. Jambudweep is the most prominent in the center on which this Meru is standing. And the river Ganges flows from the top of the Meru mountain, and all the divine beings are living at the top of this Meru mountain. So obviously it's a mythical phraseology or imagination of a spiritual world where the divinity is at the top and the wisdom of this divinity is flowing from this Meru mountain in the form of Ganges and reaching the seven islands below. So, it says, Meruhu Sikrinam Aham, Meru among all the mountains. Some people think that because it is described that the Ganges flow from the Meru mountain, it is probably a description of Himalaya. And it is possible. Jambudvip is continent of Asia, or at least we consider as our Indian subcontinent and the surrounding places. Therefore, when you go to the temple, and sometimes when we are doing puja, and Panditji start chanting, and then he asks, and where were you born? And you said, I was born in India. Then he start chanting something and say, Jambudvipe, in the island of Jambudvip, you were born. Because our India is part of the Jambudvip, part of Asia. Now, these are all mystical, mythical descriptions. But for our purposes, it defines where the center of the divinity is, and which is the discussion of this chapter. Continuing, he says, Purodhasam cha mukhyam mam viddi partha bruhaspatim. Purodhasam, among the household priests, I am the chief bruhaspati, the presiding deity of Jupiter, the planet Jupiter is Bruhaspati. He is also in Rigveda called Brahmanaspati. He is the chief of the Brahmanas. He is the teacher of the spiritual knowledge to all the priests, the Brahmanas. So he is the chief among all the spiritual teachers. So Bhagavan said, I am the Bruhaspati among all the Brahmanas, all the spiritual leaders and teachers. I'm the teacher of them all. Because the Self is the teacher, where the source is of all the wisdom. So Bhagavan said, Purodhasam cha mukhyam mam viddhi partha bruhaspatim. Senani nam aham skandaha. Skanda, son of Shiva, who rides peacock, and having a spear in his hand. Shiva obviously is the chief of the Rudras, the deities of the destruction. And in his generals, his son Skanda is the greatest. He is the most feared and has the most powerful general, Skanda. So among the warriors, Skanda is the greatest. So I am the Skanda among all the generals and the warriors. Sarasam asmi sagaraha. Among the water bodies, the lakes, I am the ocean. Now, this is quite obvious. Among the water bodies, there is nothing greater than the ocean. But it also gives you to think that there are water bodies which have no connection with ocean at all. You know, the lakes typically are disconnected from any kind of, you know, ocean. But we all know for sure that that water body only exists because the ocean exists. Because there is this phenomena of water from the ocean vaporize during the summertime because of the heat, becomes clouds. Those clouds travel far and wide, then will become rain and come down as rain in all the area, the land area. And then when there is a huge depression, all this rainwater will get collected and will become a water body, the lake. So even though there is no apparent connection between my existence and the existence of the Supreme, my existence would not have been possible without the existence of the Supreme. Just as no water body can exist without the existence of water in the ocean, my existence is also not possible without the existence of the Supreme Self. So we will learn few more pointers from Bhagwan and say where there is the most prominent expression of any excellence that you consider to be my presence. The self is only evident when it is most obvious to us. When I go to my doctor and he or she wants to draw the blood and will say, "Neil, where is your most prominent vein?" And I'll say, "I think it is on the right hand." And then they will tap on both wrists and say, "Okay, I think not right, it's on the left hand. I can feel your vein here." Now that does not mean that I do not have veins in the remaining part of my body. Veins are all over my body, but they become most apparent to my doctor or a nurse on my wrist or sometimes on my hand. Other places they are there, but not obvious. And therefore Bhagwan said, "Let me give you the prominent examples where you will feel my presence and meditate on that form." We'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.